From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Greener Views, a unique media resource for information, education, consultation, and fun. Greener Views is a part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Each episode will introduce and connect you with services, products, practices, organizations, and groups that focus on the health, happiness, safety, well-being, charity, and community of all. Find us on the web at www.greenerviews.net. And now, your host, Daryl Whalen.
Good evening, and welcome to episode 43 of Greener Views. I'm Daryl Whalen, along with audio engineer Randy Parcell, video engineer Michael Schwartz. Joining us this evening is Sonia Hoglander from Home Evolution. Good evening.
Hello.
Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network. www.healthyhomecast.com. Now, Michael and I are working on the website, so I'm kind of wound up about that. But Greener Views is brought to you exclusively by healthypainting.com and ambrosiadigitalmedia.com. If you'd like to advertise, be a sponsor, or donate, like to be a guest, have any ideas for good guests, please contact us at info@greenerviews.net. Or call 206-650-4587. So let's see how I know the guest. I'm not exactly sure how I know the guest.
I don't know either.
I got your number from, I was in a video class on how to do like YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a gal in the class that knew you.
Oh, so probably Andrea.
It could be Andrea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it turns out that you know or have some knowledge of a past guest that we had about a year ago or so that does something relatively similar to what you do.
Scott.
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 Scott and Carolyn.
Carolyn, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So that's how I know Sonia.
There you
I
go.
Don't know her, but I do
it's a
now.
Small world.
And we had a lot of
a lively
good,
conversation.
Good, we had a lively. Lovely, lively conversation before the show and got to know each other. As a matter of fact, all of us here at the podcast got to know each other a little bit better. So anyhow, we start out, give us a brief elevator pitch. What is Home Evolution?
So I do indoor environmental consulting. So that includes things like air quality, water quality, and my specialty is electromagnetic radiation. It is the up-and-coming thing that people need to learn about and need to learn how to protect themselves about. And so that's what I have dedicated my life to. It's my mission to raise awareness about electromagnetic radiation and how it affects people and what they can do about it, more importantly.
Great. So who started Home Evolution and when and why?
I started Home Evolution in August of 2010. I was working at Microsoft for a small consulting company, and I realized that my life was not very fulfilling and not very meaningful. And I had gone to a seminar conference held by Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, who's a well-known doctor, MD, naturopath, alternative side. And he had a conference called Healing the Brain. Mm-hmm. And it was in February of 2010. And so I went to this seminar with my girlfriend, who's a psychiatrist. And I thought, okay, you can, you know, keep me informed and answer any questions I might have. They go over my head. And everybody that was there kept on coming up and talking about, oh, but we've got to deal with the electromagnetic radiation. We've got to deal with the electromagnetic radiation. Oh, the electromagnetic radiation. Oh, it's this, it's that, it's causing DNA damage, it's causing magnetic, you know, issues, it's causing migraines. It's like, oh my goodness, it's like they've got all these issues going on with the brain. And I sat there and I had this moment, an epiphany, where I said, that's it. That's what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, because I'm an electrical engineer. I'm very, very, you know, well versed in health issues, because I did my own talk show called Sonia on Health for like 5 years, and talking about the good, bad, and the ugly of healthcare, especially alternatives, and what the mainstream medicine doesn't want you to know about how well alternatives work versus the mainstream stuff. And so I sat there and I said, this is exactly what I can do. This is perfect for me. And so I embarked on becoming a building biologist. They're also a building biologist, kind of an unusual term. Most people don't know what building biology is. And it's a term that came out of Germany in the 60s. It's actually in Germany, it's Baubiology, which is house or building. And it's really looking at the building structure as a biological system. So all of the systems in the house, whether it's ventilation or heating or lighting, all of the materials, everything that goes into the house creates the system that is the building. And building biology is all about how do we make the built structure compatible with the human being. And so we look at it from that place first. So instead of looking at the environment first and saying, oh, how do we make a house that's good for the environment? How do we make a house that's good for the human being that's going to live in the environment? And so that's why healthy versus green in what I do. And we try to explain to people that the built environment, it's more important that we build it healthy. And if you build it healthy, that it'll automatically be green. It'll be good for the environment if it's good for the people, the human beings, because anything that's not destructive to us will also not be destructive to the environment that it's in. So anyway, so that's kind of the long and short of it. And I really feel, I mean, I'm really dedicated and I'm really on a mission about this. I'm very dedicated to educating young women about their children, and especially women who are of childbearing age, because a lot of these effects within the environment can hurt the fetus. And so a woman's environment, whether she has toxins like pesticides or fluoride or chlorine in the water, or toxins, hormones in the food, all of that's going to affect the fetus. And we don't know what the long-term effects of this petri dish type of toxic environment will do long-term to a human fetus. There's lots of trending data that is available now that shows that it's devastating, and we're seeing huge increases in things like asthma. We're seeing huge increases in autism, ADHD, attention deficit disorder, all of these kinds of things that happen in utero during the pregnancy, that unless a woman knows about it ahead of time, she doesn't know how to protect herself from the things that are just there in the environment. And so it's not just the built environment, it's all of it. It's what we eat, it's what we drink, it's what we put on our bodies, it's the entire environment that we find ourselves in as human beings at this point.
Yeah, I got a lot of it. Thank you for that. I just remembered, actually, we sat down with a small group of people at the coffee shop down at the Landing.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
you know,
I remember.
Denise Frakes.
Yes, that's right.
Denise was just on the show.
I absolutely remember now. Know each other more than we realized.
We know each other more.
Yes.
And Denise is I'm one of her biggest fans, and we're going to be doing some work together here.
Oh, that's great. She's awesome. She and I, when we met, we just totally hit it off. Yeah. So we were just,
And she talks about the kids and the families. And so how do we know that any of this is true? You know, I hear all this stuff about the fluoride and the electromagnetic stuff. And, you know, there's people that say that's all just a big controversy and a big.
And I think it's just a lot of denial, because the idea is that right now it's so bad. Yeah. Our environment is so saturated with toxins that the idea to admit it, I think, is too frightening for mainstream. Because what are they going to do if they find out that all our modern conveniences are causing, you know, disease? I mean, a lot of the diseases that we see, like cancer, everybody's afraid of getting cancer. If we find out that it's environmentally caused fundamentally, well, I mean, people are going to be like, oh my God, you know, I think people don't want to see the truth because I think it's a little frightening, because it's so bad right now. And we are seeing significant scientific data coming out to and trending. I mean, it's very strong trending data, not only with the electromagnetic, but things like mercury the fluorine and chlorine in the water. Our water, the municipal water we have, is very toxic for the human body. And there's mercury and everything. A lot of the drugs that go into our water systems, it just gets disposed of and flushed down the toilet or dropped down the sink or even just as we, excrete it after it's been used up by the body. All of this is going back into our systems, our water systems, and it's coming back. The pesticide doesn't go away. It has a very, very long half-life, and the pesticides are now saturating our water tables that are well beneath the surface of the earth, and the filtration that normally was able to relieve some of this saturation are starting to break down. So we're seeing some really frightening trends with the electromagnetic, which is the area that I specialize in, though I'm very well versed, as you can tell, in all of the other things as well, is that they're showing that the new technologies, the 4G, 3G technologies, and we're now sending huge amounts of data on electrical signals through the air. And these signals, this data, it's not the power that, the fact that your phone is a small device that's causing it. It's the fact that this data is so... there's so much of it, and that it's very erratic, that it interferes with the body's intercommunication. So the cellular communication, our bodies are electrochemical, and so our cells know to produce things or stop to produce things by giving signals, electrical signals, in order to create chemicals and to release chemicals. And now we're actually interfering with that, and they're suggesting that this interference actually mimics things like enzymes in our body. And so the body doesn't know to produce something, or it starts producing too much because it thinks it has an allergen in the system. And so they're starting to see things, from this interference with the 4G. Brain tumors, for instance, are on a huge rise. And it's always the phone that people favor when using the cell phone. And it takes 5 to 10 years for brain tumors to develop from using the cell phone, and now with the new technologies, the 4G and 3Gs, it might take less time for it to happen, because the 10 years was just the digital era. It wasn't even including the new 3G and 4G. And so they're increasing their warnings about the fact that the cell phone radiation might cause brain tumors and cancers. And it's especially problematic for children whose skulls aren't as well formed, and therefore they don't have as much insulation from the electromagnetic. There are pictures available on the internet. If you start searching on electromagnetic radiation, you'll see a lot of the studies and a lot of the people who are talking about it. Dr. Deborah Davis just recently gave a presentation to the American Association of Environmental Medicine, and she showed pictures of the radiation and how it penetrates halfway through the adult brain. And this is the radiation. This is not the heat of it, which is well studied within the past in electronics and telecommunications companies. But she has shown that it's actually the radiation that, halfway through the plume, which is a circular spherical plume, actually penetrates halfway through the brain. So with children with half the size of the head and a smaller, weaker insulation, is now penetrating all the way through. And again, it's a petri dish. We don't know what the effects are. So Europe is already starting to ban things like Wi-Fi and cell phones, cell phone towers and the like from their schools. And they're way ahead of what America is doing, because we're still in a great state of denial and we're not getting the real information that we need. So
is it possible to use a cell phone or a computer safely?
The thing about safety, what we need to learn, it's about exposure. All right. And so knowing that the cell phone has the type of radiation that can create problems. It's about limiting our exposure. So using a headset, for instance, or not having carrying it on our body because it can interfere with multiple, you know, organs in the body. And they've shown at one of the presentation, one of the pieces of the presentation that Dr. Deborah Davis did showed a woman who was carrying a cell phone, on her breast. You know, women stick them in their bras, right? And she had cancer that followed the exact signal of this phone. And so, carrying it on the body, is very, very dangerous. And so we want to avoid exposure. And I recommend to people to turn off the wireless at night. So we're exposed all day long. Every place you go, there's a hot spot. Whether you're going into a Starbucks or going into a grocery store, there's a hot spot. And when they've got Wi-Fi there and they want to make sure you have a really bright signal because they want you to come and sit there for hours and spend your money on whatever they're doing and whatever they're selling. And so it's just noticing that you're exposed when you're having symptoms. Some of the things that you might have are like tingling. If you hold the phone in your hand up to your ear, many people will notice after some time, maybe 10 minutes, that the tingling will start traveling down their arm. But most people don't pay any attention to it because, you know, they just, well, it's because I'm just holding my arm funny and I'm cutting off the circulation. But if you start paying attention to the symptoms that you might having when you're using these electronics, when you're on a keyboard, you know, when you're on the telephone, when you're, you know, on even a cordless phone, cordless phones are much worse than actually the cell phones. But just starting to notice that this, you know, the small, you know, symptoms that you might have, and then reducing it. We want people to clean up their environment where they're sleeping. It's most important that the body have a time to recuperate when it's sleeping, so that it can recover from all of the stressors from the day, regardless of what it is, whether it's emotional stress or heat stress, like we're suffering here, so many of us here in the Northwest, electromagnetic stress or, you know, chemical stress. Your body does an amazing job of recuperating, but we often bombard ourselves even through the night because we, you know, we leave the Wi-Fi on. We just don't think anything of it. And that we have the cell phone right by our bed charging. And, you know, we just don't really give it any thought. And so it's about really people raising awareness about the phone might have an effect and it might have a risk and you need to reduce or minimize the amount of exposure that you have to it so that you're not part of the guinea pig generation and see what happens down the road.
My entire life has revolved around my cell phone and my computer.
Yeah, I know. And I don't want people to throw away their computer. I love my computer. Yeah. I love my cell phone. I mean, I love technology. I think they're wonderful. I think we need to start looking at.
Is there a potential for healthy technology?
I think there is. I think we need to start looking at that. We need to raise awareness and say, hey, okay, we don't like the risk that this is creating, and we want to create safer technology. Let's go further than what we've done. You know, let's not just stay here. Let's go ahead and take health into consideration and make technology that is not only cool, but also healthy in the long term.
That's well, really I appreciate that you have a relatively optimistic attitude amongst such a relatively dire topic or an extremely dire topic.
Well, it is, and yeah. I actually brought some of my tools with me. And you might want to, because one of the things that I do, I do a lot of education. I consider my appointments with people to be educational. I go in, I give them an hour worth of, they can ask me anything, and I talk to them. I show them what the electromagnetic spectrum looks like, and I explain to them that everything's on the same spectrum, you know, whether it's the stuff you plug in the wall or the stuff that, you know, that you have a battery in that runs, you know, like a clock that has a battery in it, or nuclear or gamma, which is, you know, at the really high end of the frequency of the electromagnetic spectrum. And so I do that, and then I show them, I measure it, and I let them hear for themselves exactly what's in the environment because you can't see it. So it's a little hard to believe because it's like, okay, well, you don't see it. How can it possibly hurt you if you can't see it? So I let them hear it, and that's the next best thing. So is it okay?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go ahead. I brought it out here. So I put my lovely antenna.
Actually, we'll probably just do this at the break because doesn't that make more sense like we did it before? Okay, cool.
Okay. So this is my high frequency analyzer, and it measures the high frequency that is like the radio antennas, radio frequencies that come from like cordless telephones, as well as cell phones, cell phone antennas, microwaves, television broadcasting, so, and Wi-Fi. Those are all the high frequency radiation. And I did test to make sure that there is a signal in here, and I don't want to blow this thing out. So I'm going to start it out really low so that it doesn't hurt people's ears. And so you'll hear that beep, 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 beep. That is the wireless router. So it's a repeater. That's how it, you know, how it sends the signals out. And we're receiving.
Perhaps we can talk about how toxic this place is after the show.
Yeah. So this is reading. This is very directional. So I'm pointing over there towards the computer. And so understandably, it's well over 100 microwatts per meter squared. So
what's considered a safe zone, and what's considered
less than 10?
And this is over 100.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're only 10 times above not
right,
being.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And the important thing about this, because it gets irritating, but it's important to see being able to hear it. Because if you imagine, now you're hearing, your cells are hearing that, right? Because they're engaging, and you know, it's vibration, and your body is very sensitive to vibration. Yeah. And so this is a vibration. Just because you can't hear it doesn't mean that it's not there constantly bombarding your cells. And so it's helpful to say, okay, think about what you're hearing now and how irritating that is. That's happening to your body all day long, right? Whenever you're exposed, whenever you're in an environment that has a wireless or cell phone antennas or cordless telephones.
Well, I think whether that thing actually does anything or not, if you just turn that on and get that kind of sound going around somebody, it's going to start freaking out.
Yeah, yeah. And it is a really high tech device. It is cutting edge. It is actually made by Gigahertz. It's imported from Germany. They make some of the best equipment there. They've been doing this for quite a bit longer than we have here in the United States.
We talked about solar panels like a few episodes back. And Germany is a real innovator.
They are. They really Germany is really setting a great example for us, because I'm well in favor of solar panels, because solar panels, you know, you think because we are cloudy here in the Northwest, but they're just as cloudy there in Germany, and we have ideal weather because it doesn't get too hot, which can disrupt the ability of solar panels to work effectively.
So we get 30% more sunlight here than Germany.
So we do really great. Solar panels are awesome for
you mean
here
in
the
Seattle
Northwest.
Right, the guy did
exactly
say that.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be doing solar panels. I mean, it's a really good technology. Now they have to do some work on it too, because
the carbon footprint of actually making them is something that they're still working on.
Converters, the boxes actually convert the DC to AC. They're huge magnetic field creators.
Interesting.
And so you have to be careful about those. And that's what this other device is. So this other device is does magnetic and electric. And so these are on the lower end of the spectrum. And at the lower end of the spectrum, they operate separately. So the magnetic fields are created from electricity, and the electric fields are created, you know, by current. And so they happen separately, and they don't work together. And the high frequency, they're combined. Then you can't separate them and measure them separately. So on the lower frequencies, I go in and measure electric fields and magnetic fields. And the things that create magnetic fields are things like motors, transformers, the big blocks that you plug into the wall that basically step down the AC electric to your little DC device.
And that's what those solar panel converters do.
Right. They're stepping it down, right? So they're transforming it.
So what kind of noise does that one make?
So this one, I don't know if we have anything around here. So this one's not going to make as much of a noise, but let's see what we got here. Oh, wow. Well, maybe the... So you can hear it here, right?
It's like we're basically in toxic meltdown here, people.
So this is actually pretty high. I'm not sure what it's coming from. I imagine this might have a motor. It might be or something behind us.
I can plug this for a second.
No, that's not going to make that strong a field. No, it could be the wire. No,
So what's the number on there?
Something.
How
something
much is that? How many times above normal
so
is that?
So I'm getting 65 nanoteslas. Most, and it's a little higher at this direction. It's very directional. 97 nanoteslas. So,
nobody's going to want to come on and be a guest on the podcast anymore.
So,
but
magnetic
that's okay.
fields, they affect people differently. Yeah, yeah. So, they're a completely different field, a completely different radiation that we deal with. And what I find with magnetic fields is that it can disrupt your biorhythmic signals. And so, our body is a very rhythm. It has cycles and rhythms, and your heart has a rhythm, your brain has a rhythm, your everything in your body, you know, has a rhythm. Your cells, the way they communicate, it's all rhythmic. Magnetic fields interfere with that, right? So, because it interferes with anything that has a cycle. So people can experience disruption in their sleep, because that's a rhythm, right? Yeah. In your sleep cycle, right?
That's probably me setting that darn thing up.
And also things like high blood pressure.
Yeah.
Also a rhythm, right? So it can also cause high blood pressure to be exposed. And it's extended exposure. You know, being exposed a little bit while we talk here on the radio is not so bad as if you're sleeping in it all night long and
well,
you're
we're
constantly
set up.
Disrupting.
I got quite a bit of stuff set
you
up here like a studio, so it's not normally going like this, but yeah.
And at this level, this is actually pretty low. What the building biology standards are that they want it to less than 0.2 milligauss in your sleeping area. This is 0.6 to 0.7, 0.9, which is what we were measuring. So it's still fairly high, but I mean, it's not like
so. What's
severe.
Like you've gone and you've obviously gone to a lot of houses and run these tests and stuff. What's the highest like you've ever?
Oh
ever,
well,
like, almost,
I have seen where
have
I have
one of these
people
things actually
over
start
over seven
around?
Seven milligauss, which is relatively high.
Not I measure 0.7. You're talking about
seven wow. milligauss, and at the government, the EPA standards, energy standards are 20 milligauss is okay. And that's just really erroneous because there was a study by a Dr. Lee from the UW University of Washington that showed that women who are exposed to a 16 milligauss magnetic field can spontaneously abort their babies. And so therefore, since the standard is 20 milligauss under power lines, those lovely walks, those paths that they put under those power lines are not good places for women who are pregnant to go and exercise.
It's probably not good for anybody.
Well, and it's the exposure level. It's like being exposed over, 24/7 versus being exposed for an hour.
People live underneath
right, the
things.
People, and that's why people who live under them are experiencing higher levels of cancer because, again, all of the regulatory systems in the body are disrupted and the body is unable to recover even during sleep when it needs to do that work.
So they built a lot of public schools because the land's so cheap.
Yeah, and we just need to raise awareness of it. And there's just been a blackout of this information. And the studies are coming in. Dr. Lee has been pretty phenomenal in bringing a lot of this out. And we do need to be concerned. There's also another doctor, and I'm not sure how his name is pronounced, but it's L-A-I. So we have Dr. L-I and Dr. L-A-I. And he found that women who are exposed to even fairly low levels of magnetic fields during the pregnancy over, just a consistent field, have their children have a higher chance of asthma because apparently the lungs are unable to develop adequately because of the magnetic fields. So we're seeing trending data like this that is, that's concerning us. And some of the work that Dr. Deborah Davis and actually Dr. Martin Blank also is the DNA damage. And what we're seeing is single-strand and double-strand breakage of the DNA. They don't know really whether the body is able to repair adequately the double-strand breakage of DNA. And so that's why they're sounding the alarm bells, because we just don't know really right now what the long-term effects of it. And they're suggesting that perhaps that the DNA damage could take 2 to 3 generations to express itself. And so even though the mom might be fine and the child might be fine, her children's children might have DNA damage that starts to express itself during the that generation. And so we need to be careful about what we're exposing ourselves to and start to pay attention to when these studies come out and say we need to follow the precautionary principle and say we don't know enough yet. And there's a suggestion, a trend of data that suggests that this might be risky, dangerous behavior, and look towards that and reduce our exposure levels, especially women. And again, this is why this is my mission for women who are of childbearing age to become really well-versed and conscious of this so that they can protect themselves. And our future generation is, you know, really depending on, you know, the next generation to pay attention to this.
Wow. Do you know who Stephen Gilbert is? He's a toxicologist.
I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with his work.
He's an amazing guy. He's going to be coming on the show probably next month or so. He's talking about nanotoxicology.
Oh, yeah.
The tiniest,
little
particles. Uh-huh. Have you ever taken those machines, like, out? Do you ever go camping or hiking or anything? Have you ever taken them out into the nature and turned them out and seen what the difference is between cities?
Yeah, so you see, the more dense the area is, the more, you know, apartments and houses there are, the higher you're going to get.
That's how I figure.
Both of them, whether it's a magnetic field, electric field, or this high frequency field, they're all higher the denser area. So think places like West Seattle or, you know, like Ballard, North Seattle. Once you get a little further away, less likely, but the denser the area, definitely you're going to have issues. And the older houses especially have a lot of issues with the magnetic fields because there's all the grounding goes in, you know, to the ground. They've got old knob and tube wiring that just spews a bunch
and
of electricity
into
the ground.
And most of the homes aren't even grounded properly.
Right,
and stuff.
Right. So there's all kinds of issues around that. And so, yeah, I mean, in the city is always worse. The cell phone antennas, they want to make sure that everybody's got great coverage. As I was coming over here, I noticed there were like four antenna trees where they have, you know, like 6 to 10 to 20 antennas on them. And they're like
above
right there.
My house?
They're over by, was it 509?
Okay, that's
right?
Not too close.
509, it's like right there.
Yeah,
you know,
it's close enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it was like, because they want to give people who are traveling, they don't want you to drop your calls. And so they put them along the highways. And so you have, you know, complete exposure the entire time you're driving. So, yeah, so I one of the things I tell people, say, for you, from now on, you will always notice those cell phone antennas, those trees that are just popping up all over the place, because you start to wonder, like, is that close enough? Is that close enough? One of the best ways to find out what you've got around your house is to go to antennasearch.com. Antennasearch.com, you put your address in there, and it'll show you within 4 mile radius of what's around your area, and it'll tell you, you know, who owns it and what the antennas and how powerful they are, and you'll be probably shocked and somewhat frightened.
A lot of people think that's a good thing. Oh, they've got one near me, so my reception is going to be a lot
better. They've got great service, right? Yeah, it's like a great service.
Maybe 5G is going to be the greener G.
Yeah, maybe we need to go G. Yeah, we definitely, but we have to raise awareness too that the researchers and developers at this point, I think they have no recognition of this. I mean, they are in complete denial, and it is just about performance. It has nothing to do with health. And I find the same thing actually with the built environment as well. There's, you know, the healthy building is becoming more and more prominent, but you talk to a green builder they're like, they don't want to even hear it.
Yeah, I can talk to you about it. We've had some great people. Do you know Dan Morris?
No, I don't know Dan Morris.
And by the way, I'm in the process of putting together something almost like writing a book about it, because I've been in the construction field since the late 70s, and the whole idea, I took a fantastic class over at the American Lung Association.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, the one thing that's like resonates with me the most is a fantastic guy named Dan Morris, and he came on the show about a year ago or so, and he was in, he's just a fantastic guy. He's retired and was in the Healthy Homes, and the main thing that he said that resonates with me the most is green building is not healthy building.
Right.
And he talked about that.
They're not the same. And we really need to, and a lot of times you say, well, it's not about doing it better anymore.
Yeah.
We need to do it differently. And we really need to look at the systems that we're putting into the house and how we're creating the built environment. And I'm a real naturalist. And building biology is just all about really natural. What can we do that's natural? Yeah. Natural cycles, you know, natural light.
Well, natural isn't always health either. Well, asbestos is natural.
Right. This is true. But again, the idea of the systems, right? And like tapping in, getting sunlight, you know, because we need sunlight, getting fresh air, and giving, you know, so natural light versus artificial light is, I think, is very, very important. And I always look at things like, I mean, I'm all about conservation. I think, you know, recycling, reusing, and, you know, reduce, recycle. Thank you. Right. Reduce. I should know that one right off. But I mean, that's great stuff. But I mean, we have to think about, you know, what we're doing beyond that. Like water, for instance. Water is one of my pet peeves. It's like they put toxins in the water to clean it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
Is that wise? You know, is that a really good thing for them to do? And
it's good for the toxin companies.
Right. Well, and the things that they're putting into it, I mean, it's becoming much more controversial, like fluoride. I mean, fluoride is the basis of Prozac. And it's like, are they really drugging the public, you know, with this fluoride? And, you know, fluoride and fluorosis is becoming more and more prominent because we're not just getting fluoride from the water. We're getting it from toothpaste. We're getting it from, you know, bottled water. It's in the bottled water. It's in anything that's made with water. So we're getting double and triple and quadruple doses of fluoride now, and so we're starting to see increases in fluorosis in people because they're getting too much fluoride. It's a small amount, and it does. It affects us psychologically, and it makes us docile, you know. So it makes us more, you know, willing to just kind of go along with the program.
Isn't that what they want? We'll get into that on another show.
But and then like the chlorine, you know, the chlorine and the lies, you know, and I get. They don't want you to have bacteria and stuff. But we got to look at the whole thing.
I heard fluoride was a conspiracy. I heard that fluoride was really good for you.
Yeah, well, that
isn't it.
Well, and
it's in our toothpaste.
It was. Yeah. Well, and that's what they would like you to believe. And if you go back and look at the history of it, it was one anomalous study that they just hammered home. It's like, oh, look, they found the result that we wanted, and they started making it available. Yeah. Dentists are starting to come out and starting to say, no, this is not what we want. And there are other better ways that we can do it besides adding these toxins to our water. So water is a big thing, and we really need to learn about what's in a water, filtrating water. Here in the Northwest, I cannot believe that we do not do water collection. We've got more rain. We're always complaining about the rain, and we're like, oh, well, water is plentiful. Everybody, like in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico, they would never think of letting a drop of water waste. They all collect rainwater. They have amazing rainwater systems. We get so much rain here. We could so improve what we do with our water and go again back to more natural. I mean, the earth still does a great job, probably the best job of filtering the water than anything, any chemical that we can put in there. Mm. And UV, I mean, is a great way to, so we need to just learn about what we're doing. You know, water is one of the most important elements that we have in our environment, and we need to start thinking about what's in it. And so conserve, let's, you know, conserve and using gray water. I love it. But I think we need to think about, is it clean? Mm. Is it toxic? I mean, will it hurt us in the long term? We get enough toxins in everything that we put in our bodies that we don't need to be adding to it the one most important nutrient that we drink and we have to, you know, have every single day to survive. So I'm really big on things like that. And that, I think those are.
I could tell.
It's about the health again. And we focus so much on the environment, and it's like, well, you know, it's like, yeah, the environment, and I'm just going to say something here. I was like, it's bad.
Well, the environment is, really is all encompassing. The environment is everything.
And you can't isolate anymore. I think, you know, just like we're going into holistic medicine, we're going into holistic building, a holistic living, right? We can't put things in isolation. The home environment is no more isolated from the land that it's, you know, sitting on than anything. I mean, it's not isolated from the humans that are in it. It's not isolated from the land that it's sitting on. It's not isolated from the materials that have been brought from other places in the environment to be put into it. So we think of things just sort of kind of myopically, and we're like, oh, okay, well, it's green. Look, it's energy efficient. And we haven't thought about the fact that we've saturated our entire environment with toxins. You know, there's toxins in our meat. There's toxins in our vegetables. There's toxins in our water. And you know, everything that we bring in is, and yeah, it's just, it's gotten crazy. And so we've got to start and really do things differently and think about health first, the whole life cycle of products, the whole life cycle of a building. You know, where are we going to get rid of things, and what's that going to do to the environment? Because anything that we put into the environment will eventually come back at us. I mean, and we are at that point. We are saturated.
Well, we are the environment. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We are. So everything, I mean, what we breathe, you know, everything, I mean, everything that's around us is in us. We are in it. I mean, it's like we can't separate ourselves from the environment. It's sort of silly that we're just like, oh, okay, well, we'll, you know, treat the body over here this way, and then we'll treat the environment over here this way, and the two shall never, you know, meet. And they're like, they're the same thing. The air we breathe, it goes, you know, goes right into the lungs and, you know, into our system filters it all out, and the stuff it can't get rid of stays in there, you know, like the mercury that we have in the environment. And so, yeah, so health is so important.
Wow. You're one passionate gal. Well, I'll tell you what, I got one question. We're going to take a break
okay.
because I could tell this can go really, really long, and I'm excited about all you got to say. So it's probably pretty obvious, but who is your target clientele? Who do you see as your clientele, or who's...
Definitely young women, families, young women. I'm aiming for anyone who has young children. I really want them to learn about this and do what they can to head them off at the pass, basically, because they're already getting cell phones at age, you know, 7, 8, 9, and if, you know, if it takes us 5 years now to get a brain tumor, we're going to be looking at a really, really sick generation if we don't start warning and taking action today. So that's definitely my target.
Great. Okay, well, you're here with Sonia Hoglander from Home Evolution, and this is episode 43 of Green Interviews, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Greener Views.
Gravity connects me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe. With naive mind shield like a helmet, they would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue disillusioned little. In the vision of one resides all, destroy the individual, for this is critical. The self ain't everything, hands to grasp, to cling, to mask material vastly shipwrecked beings. At last, release the greed amassed with capitalist tasks and contact the mass. Communication is all we have and dwindling fast.
Okay, we're back. We're here with more of episode 43 of Greener Views. And we're back with Sonia Hoglander from Home Evolution. And we had, she's quite a woman. Now, we've had a whole incredible conversation about a lot of great things. And I would encourage anybody that if you want somebody to check out your home for all of its toxic and unhealthiness, this would be a good person to call. And if you want a person to, on top of that, talk about some pretty cool things, she'd be good for that too. And we've been talking about some other great ideas for the show, and Michael and Randy were chiming in on it, so it's pretty exciting. A lot of optimistic and interesting things and conversation ideas amongst all the crazy toxic and unhealthy things going on in life.
I think there's a lot of hope for us. I mean, I think even though that we've done it so wrong for so long, I think that there's still time for us to change how we're going about it. I think all we have to do is shift our focus to what's important, which is our health. It is the most important thing, in my opinion, to be healthy and to live a long life so that we can enjoy and live our lives fully. So I think that if we put our attention there, that there's nothing that we can't do as a human species to overcome anything that we have done to ourselves. Yes, it's bad, but, you know, I think that just means we're just going to have to step it up and, you know, and fix it.
I really like this girl. So I want to ask you, I had a question that we didn't get to before the break, but so what is the thing that you're most passionate about as it relates to this work that you do?
You can't tell? Well, I look at this, I really, and maybe this will be really unusual. So I really believe that we're
good.
Evolving as a human species. And one of the things that I recognize is that a synthetic electromagnetic radiation interferes with us on multiple levels. The physical level is the one that's being studied by a lot of people, but I also believe that it affects us, it interferes with us emotionally and spiritually as well. So I believe that we, you know, are energetic beings, and that this synthetic electromagnetic radiation is disruptive to our actual, you know, natural energetic light body. And so what I see, it's been a very enlightening process to see how it actually is interfering with people. And I see with women that it interferes with them on a very physical level. And with men, I find that it interferes with them on a more behavioral level, because it's interfering with their amygdala. And the amygdala controls the fight or flight aspect of human behavior. And men are much more likely to be skeptical and in denial about the fact that anything's going on, because they're responding as if there's a threat, but they haven't any ability to identify what that threat might be. And so taking that a little bit further, I'm like, oh, okay, so this, what's going on, is affecting us much deeper. And I've met people who actually, it's affecting their dreams. And once they've protected themselves by getting a Faraday cage sleeping canopy, so a Faraday cage, it's a canopy, like a it's like a mosquito net, but it's got a silver copper thread woven through it. So it actually shields the person who's sleeping in the bed from the electromagnetic radiation. Once they put one of these shields up, all of a sudden their dreamscape changed. And I thought, oh, well, isn't that interesting? And so I started talking to people who tend to be more sensitive or intuitive. And I asked them, you know, if, you know, when I realized what kind of a frequency or what kind of a exposure that they have, if they have noticed anything with their dreamscape and how that is. And I have found that it actually does interfere with the dreams and, you know, the people's actual spiritualism. So I have then taken it to the next step and said, well, what are we going to do about that? I mean, one thing to put a canopy over our heads when we're sleeping, but we can't, you know, wear a canopy. What are we going to put the tinfoil hat on and walk around, right? That joke around since the 70s, the 60s. No, we can't do that. So what we need to do instead is...
Or can we?
Well, I don't know that it's not effective, because, yeah. I mean, it also duplicates an antenna, and so you end up drawing more of it to you. But what we can do is strengthen our own electromagnetic field, our own human aura, our biological electromagnetic field. And there's plenty of studies that do, you know, studies that practices that do that, like Qigong. I don't know if you've ever heard of Qigong,
sure.
But Qigong is a practice of using and moving and balancing your own qi, which is your, you know, biological electromagnetic field. So what I see us doing as a human species is evolving consciously to protect ourselves from the environment by strengthening our qi, to make ourselves protect ourselves more thoroughly, because the only thing that can be 100% protection is for our own bodies to create its own system in order to be able to recognize and also to protect at the same time. So I've been working with Dr. Sun out of at Bastyr and also at the UW, and he has a form of Qigong that he's brought to the United States from China, and he's a master Qigong. He's a Qigong master, they call him. And it's called Yi Ren Qigong. And he's done amazing work. It's medical Qigong from translated. And he's been able to show people to use the Qigong to reverse diabetes, to reverse cancer, to reverse heart disease. And I'm like, yep, that's the stuff. That's what we need to do. So I went and talked to him. I said, so here's what I do. Here's what I see. And he says, oh, that's a great idea. Let's work together to develop a way for people to strengthen what they call Wei Qi. It's W-E-I. It's the external or immune system Qi. So it's basically the aura that's around us, to strengthen it in such a way so that it mimics the Faraday cage concept, and it has the properties, the characteristics that are reflective, that can be created by our own thought and our own holding of that energy, holding the intention, and then protecting ourselves from the environment. So,
great.
was that out there?
No. Okay, this is what I wanted to know. I loved it. I actually, I got like a good percentage of that, and
I am on
board with it, by the way.
Okay.
So this is what my question is. How do you frame this and communicate this and deliver this to somebody that may be a little bit more on the more mainstream or traditional place in their life that like would potentially look at this stuff as really kind of out there? How do you deliver that this message to somebody without them taking it on as something that's really weird?
It can be difficult. I get a lot of skepticism.
Well, I want to know how you do it.
But Qigong isn't that outrageous anymore, and it's not much different than Tai Chi or yoga. And yoga is one of the most popular practices that we have going on in this country. And
so you're saying we're generally just kind of going towards that way anyhow.
Exactly. And so Qigong and the idea of recognizing that the energetic can actually protect us, I think it's just a natural next step. And so it's a little bit early yet, but I'm working with Dr. Sun to develop a technique within his technique, because his technique is superb. He's already seen amazing results, and we want to study it as we introduce and create this method, which is just kind of an add-on technique to what he's already teaching, and then study it, be able to measure it with these devices that I just showed you, that I measured the devices. If we can create a Faraday cage out of our own electromagnetic radiation, we should be able to measure it. At that point, I don't have to convince anybody. I can just show them.
I met a guy a few years back that said yoga was satanic and devil worshiping. Is that possibly true?
Some people think that the body is the devil. The flesh is the devil. So, I mean, there's a lot of people who have some very extreme belief systems. But I think people just have to learn by themselves, and not everybody is going to want to or choose to learn, and perhaps they would prefer to just use their cell phone and wait until the tumor comes and have it cut out until they've got nothing left to cut.
Wow. So, yeah, you're really delightful to talk to. We're going to do two more questions,
okay, all right,
and then we're going to get into the specifics on how to get in touch with you. But so, number one, how do you maintain such a positive and hopeful attitude?
Oh gosh, how do I do that? I am a natural optimist, and I believe in human nature. I believe in the human spirit. I'm a very spiritual person, and so I'm thankful for every opportunity that I have to serve humanity.
Great. So what about a recent book or a movie that's been inspirational to you?
Oh, well, yeah, I've watched quite a few. There's a lot of really amazing movies out there that are a little frightening. Things like Manufactured Landscapes. It's like, whoa, talk about eye-opening. The one that I recommend mostly to people is the movie Full Signal. I think Full Signal is the documentary that people need to see because it brings experts on the camera, and they talk about and they show the effects of the electromagnetic radiation coming from cell phone antennas. It's an hour-long documentary. It's available on Netflix. You can get it directly from their website, and it's very informative, and I would recommend to everybody get it and give it to their friends.
How about a book? Any book that you've read recently that's inspirational?
Asking tough questions. I do a lot of technical books.
By the way, that's fine too.
So
inspiration comes from all different kinds of places for all different kinds
and
of people.
What's the name of it? The one rock. What is that? It's like, I can't think of the name of it at this point. But the idea is that it's one rock in space, that the Earth is one place. It's not multiple places. And the idea that we need to care for this one rock together. Yeah. It was a story he had talked about, the rock of Gibraltar, is it? That they're all fighting over for centuries.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, it's a rock.
We all share this rock.
And I think it's something like that. Sharing the Rock, is the name of the book.
I love it.
And I apologize for not knowing the author of it.
Well, there's nothing to apologize for. So how do people get in touch with you? What about, give us any website. We're talking... aside from calling out in the air, the safest way, the less signal... Hey, Sonia, come over here. A string and a cup.
As long as
it's biodegradable, recycled string and cups.
I love technology. And that's why, I love technology.
So what about websites or emails or phone numbers? How do we get all of
you? I can be found at www.homeevo.com. And that's HOMEVO. Pretty short, simple to remember. So I get lots of good articles out there, and I can be contacted through that site. My email is Sonia, S-O-N-I-A, at homeevo.com. And you can call me directly at 206-604-0836 to schedule an appointment. My appointments are hour long, $125. It's a really good price for an insurance policy that can save you a lot of trouble 10 to 15 years down the road. So it's well worth it.
It's got to be a lot of information packed into that 60 minutes.
Yes, you get a lot in an hour. So the Sleep Shield canopies are available, depending on size, for an average of $1,100. They are woven with copper, silver thread. Well, I'm setting up the ability to rent them. I have one rented out, and I'll be able to rent them out for closer to $100 to $125 a month, kind of a rent-to-own deal.
Yeah.
So I'll be setting that up. I've been in the process of setting it up and getting funding for that because I really want to make them available. I would love for women who are pregnant to have them during their pregnancy and to have them for their infants while they're developing in the crib.
Wow. So any upcoming events or information that you'd like to share with us?
Yes. I'm really excited, actually. We've been planning, the Building Biology Institute, which I am on the board of directors, are planning the conference. It's a 25th anniversary conference in Washington, D.C., October 12th through the 15th. And we have some of the most amazing cutting-edge doctors and actually advocates for the electromagnetic radiation issues, whether it's smart meters or cell phone antennas or any of the technology that we're, Wi-Fi, things that we've got coming out. We've got people like Dr. Martin Blank is going to be there. He's going to be a keynote speaker. Camilla Reese, an MBA and a huge study, is going to be there talking about advocacy and all of the issues that are around it. And then we're also going to have Dr. Deborah Davis, who's absolutely amazing. She's been working with a lot of the cutting edge cutting-edge scientists around the world. And so she'll be there. And we're going to have – and we're also going to have a free showing of Full Signal on Friday night. And so anybody who's watching in Washington, D.C., come out and find out what building biology is about. Come and meet some of the experts and come watch the free documentary, Full Signal, that evening.
Great. Well, listen, it's been a real pleasure. We always like to end the show. Do you have any parting words or wise advice or words of wisdom to share?
I think that knowledge is power. I think the more you know about how the environment might be affecting you, the more you can do something about it. So get yourself educated. Don't be afraid. Just get educated and do things differently.
Sweet. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. So we've been listening to episode 43 of Greener Views, and our guest has been Sonia Hoglander from Home Evolution. That's one E in the middle there.
Yes.
And on behalf of Randy and Michael and myself, we say thank you. If you'd like to be an advertiser or a sponsor or donate, if you have any ideas for guests or topics, or if you yourself would like to be a guest on Greener Views, please call us at 206-650-4587. You can email us. That's info@greenerviews.net. Please check out ambrosiadigitalmedia.com and healthyhomecast.com. Our next episode, number 44, is going to be great. I have no idea who's on, but you can find it on our site. And I know it's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you so much and have a great night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, yeah. You got to wave.
Oh, we have to wave.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that.
To all the people out there on our one rock.
Thank you for listening. Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network. Check out all their conscientious and sustainably focused podcast programs and businesses at healthyhomecast.com. Greener Views is created, developed, and produced by Daryl Whalen. Our audio engineer is Randy Parcell. Our video producer is Michael Schwartz of AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Music for this episode was provided by SlapJazz.com, DanFajans.Bandcamp.com, and JDHobson.com. Your feedback is important. Please feel free to contact us with any comments or questions, including suggestions for guests and program topics. You can call us at 206-650-4587. Or send a direct email to info@greenerviews.net. Be sure to check back often. New episodes coming soon.